I want to say thank you to everyone who took part tonight, to those who played, to those who sang, to our brother Marcus, who was in the hot seat tonight. It's not easy when that computer isn't working and nobody knows what to do, but thank you so much for keeping us right with the words. And we trust that there's been a blessing to your heart, that Christ has been exalted, and especially that last song that we sang, "Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid?" Is it all on the altar? Are you holding anything back from the Lord? Christian, tonight, are you fully surrendered? That's our prayer. That's our heart's desire, that you would be all and all for Jesus. And that's what we truly pray will happen in this meeting tonight. And if you're not saved and don't know Christ as your Savior, that even this night you will be brought to faith in him. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. We want to read, it's really a little sentence, and therefore we want to apply that to this meeting tonight. Matthew 22 and verse number 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David called, then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him in word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. The one whom we have worshipped tonight in song, the one whose resurrection we celebrate tonight, and every Lord's Day as we meet in this building, the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye of him? I want us to take that little question asked by the Lord Jesus. What think ye of Christ? And I want to apply it to those records of his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And as we read those accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ's entry into Jerusalem, right through until he was crucified, right through until he rose again, victorious over sin and death and hell and Satan, we see many different people who thought many different things of Christ. And in this meeting, it's quite possible that there are many different opinions about Christ. And my prayer is that tonight you will see him in all his beauty. You see, whenever we come to the account in Scripture of the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn over with me just to chapter 27, chapter 27 of Matthew's Gospel, and verse number 22, we come to a man called Pilate, Pontius Pilate. And Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." And here we have Pilate, and Pilate reveals what he thinks of Christ. Pilate sees Christ as a great problem, and he tries to wash his hands of Christ. You see, he's more concerned about what the people think about him, about his popularity, about his position, than the innocent one who is standing before him. And whenever Pilate washed his hands that day, he assumed that that was all he had to do with Christ. That never again would he have to come and stand before this man who was going to be crucified. "Nothing to do with me. You're having your way, and I'll let you have your way." Pleasing everybody, it seemed. Keeping favor with the crowd. But the Holy Spirit records something different for us. Because the Holy Spirit records in the preaching of Acts chapter 4 and 26, it says, "For a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." And the Holy Spirit records Pontius Pilate as being guilty of putting Christ to death. And you know, there are people tonight, and they see Christ and the gospel as nothing but a great problem. And if they were to follow Christ, then they would lose their friends, or they would lose their position, or they would lose the life that they have lived up until this point, and therefore they wash their hands of Christ. I'll have nothing to do with him. Maybe they went to Sunday school. Maybe they went for years to church, but then they realize, no, if I'm going to go through with Christ, it'll cost me. And what do? They wash their hands of him. There are people here tonight that think of Christ as just a problem. Just a problem, just some annoyance in your life that you want to get rid of and you want to forget about. Where one day Pilate will stand before the one of whom he washed his hands. And one day, dear sinner, you will stand before the one that you've rejected. The one you've tried to brush out of your life. And if you're not saved, you're condemned to a lost sinner's hell. Not only did Pilate show his opinion of Christ, but as we read through the Gospels, the religious leaders of the day thought of Christ as a hindrance, and they tried to silence him. In fact, it was a very religious establishment that roused up the people to cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They wanted to silence his teaching. They thought when he was silenced that they would never again have to bother with his claims and his teachings, because his teaching revealed their sinfulness. Jesus stood before them and said, "You're like white at sepulchres or white at graves. You look beautiful on the outside as the sun shines on the whitewashed grave, but on the inside there's nothing but deadness and decay." And these men heard the word of God. They heard the preaching of the gospel. They heard Christ calling them to repent and believe the gospel. They were warned time and time and time again. And rather than seeing their wrongdoing and their sin, they thought he was the problem, and they tried to silence him. Can I say to everybody in this meeting tonight and those watching online, if your teachings or your beliefs are not in line with the scripture, then you are wrong, not the Bible. You are wrong, not the Bible. You see, there's coming a day when we will stand before the Lord, and it's from this book that we will be judged. It's by this standard that we will be judged before that judgment throne. And maybe in your life, just like the religious establishment, you've tried to silence Christ. You've tried to drown out the voice of God. You've tried to silence the preaching of the Word of God. Whenever you hear the open air, you close your ears, or you talk louder, or you try and make fun of those standing there. Perhaps in church you sit and you try and daydream and think of anything else but the gospel because you're trying to silence the voice of Christ. Perhaps you don't even like to be in silence in your home. You don't like time to think. You don't like time for the thoughts about who you are and where you're going and life and death and all of those things. You've always the radio on, you've always the television on, always something in your ears playing in the background because you are trying to silence the voice of God. And you may have drowned out the voice of God to an extent in your life. Friend, someday you'll stand before him and he will speak. He will speak. Judas is another one we come across in the scriptural account of the betrayal of Christ. And Judas thought so little of Christ that he betrayed him after years of stealing financially from the money bag among the disciples. Here was a man who appeared to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the reality was, while he walked with the disciples, his heart was against Christ. He was stealing from the Lord. And he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And you know, there are many people today and they're stealing from the Lord. There are many people today and they're taking from the Lord those things, those blessings, those privileges that God gives. And yet, they wish him to be dead, just like Judas. You know, sin's wickedness knows no bounds. And created man, we've heard in the past in history, saying God is dead. Or I'll stop the church. Or I'll stop the Bible. Or I'll stop the gospel. And just like Judas, they desire to betray him. There's people today and they claim there is no God. They claim they have no faith, but in reality, atheism is a religion. It takes a lot of faith to believe that there is no God. Whenever God has declared it in his creation, when God has put his law within our heart, when God has given us his word, when we see the change that Christ makes in the lives of those who trust in him. Ah, but you see, it seems right to their logic. And it seems to fit their desire to live a certain way, so it's convenient to say there is no God. But always remember the verse of Scripture, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And maybe there's someone sitting in this meeting, and just like Judas, everybody else thinks that you're a believer. You may be in a Christian family. You may be sitting among Christians tonight. Maybe the preacher thinks you're saved. Maybe the church members think you're saved, but you're not. You're with the people of God here in person in the church, but the reality is you're not here in spirit. Because tonight you're on your way to hell, to a lost eternity, the place where Judas is tonight, the place for all of those who have rejected Christ, where they are tonight. And then we have another group of people, and we have in Scripture revealed what they thought of Christ, the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers thought that the Savior was an absolute joke. And they ridiculed him. We're there in Matthew's Gospel. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. And as you've turned there, I just want to read two other verses. Luke 23, 36 says, and the soldiers also mocked him. John 19, 2, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Let's go to Matthew 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. And they gathered onto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him. And they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And took the reed, smote him in the head. And after that they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Pray on the hardness of the heart of the sinner. You say, oh, I would never have done that. I would never have done that, but tonight you're not saved. You have no love for the one who died for sinners. It doesn't move you one iota tonight, the fact that Christ suffered in such a humiliation to die for the likes of you and me. Is there anything more depraved you can do to a person's face and spit? And the Lord Jesus Christ stood there. And he took it, the sinless, spotless, holy Lamb of God. Never once a shadow of sin. Men spat on the face of Christ. Oh, I wouldn't do that, you say. Maybe this week, this very week, you've laughed as the world has made their joke about the Savior. As they have mocked and ridiculed the things of God, oh, you've laughed and you've joined in the mockery and you put your head back and you opened your mouth and you laughed and you laughed and you laughed as Christ was made fun of. As the gospel was ridiculed, as a believer was taken and mocked and run into the ground, you sat and you were part of it. Friend, and I don't lift yourself up to be something wonderful. Just because you weren't there with a soul you're spitting in the face of Christ. You remember that everything the sinner does is sinful and offensive before holy God. What will it be for those soldiers if they did not repent and trust Christ as Savior to stand before the holy Lamb of God with such a record of sin? And then we read in Matthew 27, verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. They didn't try and help him. They didn't listen with intent to what he was going to say. The Bible just says, sitting down, they watched him there. Maybe like those soldiers, that's what you do. You come Sunday by Sunday, service by service. You sit down and you listen, as it were. You watch him there. But then you go on about your life as if he means nothing to you. Pilate made his judgment about Christ so he could be popular with the crowd. The religious leaders made their judgment about Christ because he made them feel uncomfortable by his teaching, by his truth. They wanted to silence him. Judas made his judgment about Christ because he wanted to profit financially. The Roman soldiers made their judgment to treat Jesus just like everyone else they had to punish. They just joined in with the world, the crowd, the atmosphere of that day, and mocked and ridiculed the one who was the object of their scorn. And I say to you, dear unsaved person tonight, and listen carefully. You may silence God speaking to you. And you may be popular with the crowd like Pilate was. And you may treat Christ like any other criminal. You may even gain much of the finances of this world like Judas did. But one day, as sure as you're sitting in this church or watching this broadcast, you'll stand before God. And the opinions of this world won't matter. And the trends and the influencers of this world and of social media will have no say. You'll stand before God. And if you stand before God rejecting him, I have no good news for you. Friend, if you're not going to turn from your sin and call upon this Savior that we've been reading about tonight to cleanse you in the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary, if you're not going to repent and be converted, I have no good news for you. Don't leave in peace tonight. Don't leave with a smile on your face tonight. Don't go over to the supper content that things are okay in your life. If you're not saved because you're under damnation, you're on your way to a lost eternity. This is the greatest of tragedies. That you would walk out of a service that brings praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you would leave it to continue on the way to the horrors of hell. Friend, don't leave this meeting saying, well, that was a nice service. Because if you left rejecting Christ, there was nothing nice about it. You may go through another 40 years before God calls you from this scene of time. My friend, this service will be brought before you again. This question, what think you of Christ? The response you gave that night, Easter 2022 in Markerfelt Free Presbyterian Church, what think you of Christ? But praise God, there were some people in the scriptural accounts who thought wonderful things of Christ. If you turn with me to John's Gospel in the chapter number 18, we see two men who stand out in the midst of the wickedness of that day. In John chapter 18 and verse number 38. We're almost through. I know time's almost away, but we just want to leave this before you. John 19:38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and they brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and about 100 weight, and they took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Here were two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Friend, no matter what the crowd thought, no matter what the religious establishment thought, no matter what the political establishment thought, you know what they did? They nailed their colours to their mast. And they came willingly to take care of the Lord's body, and with reverence and with care and with love, we see them taking the body of Christ and preparing it for burial. You see, what they saw Christ go through at Calvary compelled them no longer to be secret followers, but to openly come out and profess allegiance to him. For what Christ has done for me, I couldn't cease to praise him. And they confessed their love for Christ by what they did and how they treated him. And I think there's a lovely picture here, because what were they dealing with that day? They were dealing with the body of Christ. They were dealing with the body of the Saviour. And as I thought about that, I was reminded that we who are saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are the body of Christ. He is the head and we are the body, and we ought to treat the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, with the same care that these men treated the actual body of the Saviour. We ought to treat the church of Jesus Christ with care, with love and with reverence. You know, there are some people, some of God's people, and they're quick to criticise and speak against the church. But the church are those for whom Christ has died, those whom he loves, those whom he protects. And may our testimony be, dear believer, that we're careful with the people of God, that we would be a blessing in the church of God, not those who hurt, not those who hinder, not those who seek to destroy or to wound, but that we would treat the body of Christ, the church, with love and care. And then whenever we come over to John's Gospel 21, we see Peter. And now Peter denied Christ. We know that, and it was highlighted. Peter denied Christ, and he denied him 3 times. But we never come to John's Gospel 21. And verse number 15, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And 3 times, there was 3 confessions of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's great debate over what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean when he said, Lovest thou me more than these? Was he speaking about the other disciples? Do you love me more than they do? Was he maybe pointing at the fishing boat and the occupation that Peter had gone back to? Do you love me more than these, the tools of your trade and the business that you have? Was he pointing to his friends saying, Do you love me more than you love your friends? Regardless, Peter was able to say, Lord, thou know that I love thee. And the Lord knows tonight how you stand before him. The Lord knows if you have a heart of love for him, or the Lord knows if you have a heart full of rebellion and wickedness and sin. And you know what? Peter loved him and felt Christ worthy of his best. And his best was given. We think of him standing that day at Pentecost, preaching and thousands coming to Christ. We think of the 2 epistles at the end of the New Testament, which he wrote. And we see a heart that has been filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom given from heaven itself to words that bless us to this very day. Oh, the Lord bless this man that loved him. And what the Lord can do with a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who will confess their love for Christ, turning from their sin and trusting in him. But finally tonight, and this is our last little thought, and it's Luke's Gospel chapter 24. And I thank you for your patience tonight. But in Luke's Gospel chapter 24, we've thought about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They felt that Christ was precious. We thought about Peter. He felt that Christ was worthy of his love. And now we come to the disciples in Luke's Gospel 24. And we go down there to verse number 50. And he that is Christ led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, returning to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. The disciples who were scattered when the shepherd was smitten. The disciples who failed in Christ's hour of need, now brought into fellowship with him. Now walking with him, and as they see the nail-scarred hands of Christ as he ascends into the heavens, as he blesses them leaving this earth, what are they doing? They're worshipping him. They're rejoicing. And the Bible makes it clear that they continued in the worship of God, in the praises of God. They had a song in their heart. They had a mission from the Lord. They had a risen Savior. And oh, surely tonight, as we picture that scene, as Christ lifts from this earth and goes to heaven, we're reminded of this wonderful truth. He is coming back again. Oh, he's coming again. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? We have this inscribed in the bricks over here. I'm sure you've seen it many times. What think ye of Christ? And the answer on the other side, taken from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. He is altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. He's a holy, loving, true, merciful, tender, faithful Savior and friend. A friend tonight, you who are in your sin, with a life of sin, with the record of sin, with the shame of sin, with the guilt of your sin on your way to a lost eternity, Jesus, by his Spirit, is in this meeting tonight, bidding you come to him to be saved. How can you go on in your sin? How can you think ill of the one who died to save you? He is altogether lovely. And the verse goes on to say in Solomon 5:16, this is my beloved. This is my friend. Is he yours tonight? Can you truly say that my Lord is yours? You say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I would love to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to make Christ in my sin. I don't want to die in my sin and go to hell. Well, I have great news for you tonight. You don't have to. Because one there is who loves you, waiting for you now. Sinner, come receive him. At his feet, humbly bow. Will you come to Christ? We say, Lord, I'm a sinner. But I thank you that you died on the cross for sinners. That the blood you shed is able to cleanse me from my deepest sin and make me right before God and ready for heaven. And the promise of the Word of God is whosoever, and that includes everybody in this meeting tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, don't leave without Christ tonight. Don't join the company of Pilate. Don't join the company of the religious leaders of Christ's day. Don't join the company of Judas. Don't join the company of the Roman soldiers, but come and join Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, the disciples, Peter, and the millions who've gone before. They have turned from their sin and found him all together lovely. We're closing our service tonight with a hymn that asks a question. Hymn number 94 in your hymn books. What a question it asks. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be, for someday your soul will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? And we're going to sing verse number 2, 3, and 5. Verses 2, 3, and 5 of this hymn. Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. Verses 2, 3, and 5, standing to sing, and then we'll remain standing for prayer. Close our eyes and bow our heads. We've come to the end of our service. We're just going to pray. But before I do that, I simply want to say, if you need to speak to someone tonight, I'll be about after the service. I would love to speak to you about your soul. If you want to trust Christ, we can't save you, but we can point you to the one who can. And if maybe you're backslidden, cold at heart, you would like to get right with God, then please come, and we'll love to open God's word and show you the promises for the backslider. Oh, we pray tonight that you'll not leave without Christ. Friend, don't leave without him. He's a wonderful Saviour. I'm so glad I'm saved tonight. I'm so glad I know him and able to say I am his and he is mine. Not because of anything in me, but because of that hour when I simply called upon him as a sinner. And he changed my life. He can do it for you tonight as well. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? Our Father in heaven, we realise we've been asking a solemn question tonight. First of all, what think ye of Christ? What will you do with Jesus? Oh Lord, we pray that you'll take away the rest and the attention for other things from the unsaved tonight till they answer these questions well. Oh, Lord, we realize that our Savior has died and risen again, that those nail-scarred hands are outstretched to receive the sinner and to cleanse them from their sin. Oh, I pray, Lord, you'll defeat the world tonight and the devil and the flesh. I pray, Lord, whatever argument would be come up from man's sinful nature about why you shouldn't take Christ, pray, Lord, you'll show them what is right and wrong, the realities of rejecting Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray that not one in this gathering will be found in a lost eternity, but that all will be found singing the praises of the Lamb, redeemed by his precious blood. We thank you, Lord, we're not following a dead Savior. We rejoice tonight, Lord, we're not following some religion, but we're walking with a Savior who died for sinners. Oh, Lord, help us to keep faithfully in the footsteps of our Savior. And may our Savior be honored and glorified by what is accomplished in this meeting tonight. May the Spirit of God work on and watch over us until we meet again. Bless the food to our bodies. We thank thee for the hands that have prepared it. May we eat and drink to thy glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Remember, just through the front doors, around the side of the building, and if there's a bit of a queue, just go into the entrance hall and queue up in there. It'll not take long, and we want to get you served just now.